We've been talking about building the shield of faith. We talked about the shield of faith based on the Word of God, the Word of God, the written scriptures, words God has personally spoken to you. And then God took me into a study about another layer of that shield of faith, which is agape love. It is the love of God. And the reason that that comes under faith is we will not be able to stand with the things that are coming to this world and end times unless we have a faith in the love of God that goes beyond human understanding. I'm going to start at the end and then end at the end. So at the end of my picture up there, we have a verse. It is Romans 8, 35 through 38. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But no, he says nay, we're not just sheep ready to be slaughtered. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded, there's your faith, that neither death nor life nor angels, I think that's the demon angels, nor principalities nor powers. Remember when God said put on your armor, we're going to battle with principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. And here he says, no principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's going to take that kind of a love relationship with God in order for us to stand in these end days. So that's the kind of love we're going to have to understand. Now, I made this chart, and I know you can't read it from back there, but later, when you can come up here and look at it, I want to talk about the three levels of love. And level one is an affectionate kind of love. You can like somebody or have some strong emotions towards someone, or you can simply have a kindness and a generosity because you want to be a loving, good person. Maybe you'll bake a pie for your neighbor even if you don't know him. So this is a conditional love. Humans have this love. God has it. His is not conditional. But God even has this level of love, just being kind to people that don't even care about him. God can function on that. But when we function on that level, it is conditional. Because there's a lot of people in this life we just don't even like. And we would not even want to do anything for them except for the condition that God asks us to. So sometimes loving your neighbor comes under this level one type of love. I can be kind to you even though I don't really feel a whole lot of feeling for you. It's a social kind of love. There can be affection. This can also be the only level of love we have for a wife or a husband. We have some emotions toward them, but it's barely making it in the level one of true love. Some people, this is what you might feel for food. I really love chocolate. Really, are you comparing your love for chocolate towards your love for your wife or husband? No, that's a level one type of love. I love pizza. I love chocolate. That's all under level one kind of loving. You can love people with that. This kind of love can actually meet needs and fill desires. I find out that Nate loves Twizzlers, so I buy Nate some Twizzlers. I can do that in level one love. It doesn't take a whole big sacrifice, only maybe about $1.29. In this kind of love, we can make people feel secure. My neighbor can know I have enough love that I won't kill anyone, so he's safe around me. This comes under our likes and our dislikes and our giving. You can tithe based on level one love and even decide that you'll obey God and trust God. And maybe he'll bless you. You know, there's a little bit motive behind that. It's conditional. God said he'd bless me if I tithe, so I'm going to do it. It's kind of a selfish place of love. Level two love is also human and godly. It's also, in our mind, it's more conditional. This is where we move to a committed love. This is the love that marries someone. It says, I'm going to make a commitment to be faithful to you with my love. This is a level two love. We're capable of taking love to another degree. This is a love that has a greater affection. This is the I want to marry you and have your baby love. And this is parental love. Even how much we love our children is level two. In this level two love of commitment, there's a desire to please God. This is where we surrender our life and say, because I love God so much, I'm going to begin giving him my life. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to obey his word. I want to be committed to God and love him. This is about the best love that we can come to as a human. It brings obedience. It increases our passion. It's also the same love in the hands of the devil that takes us into excess and addiction. This is where people love their habits like drugs. I mean, they're excessive about it. And they may say they don't love it, but what you give yourself to is your idol. You're loving it. So this can also be ungodly love because it's excessive and addictive. And then we're going to learn about God's love. And God's love is unconditional. It is selfless. It is supernatural. Now, the love we read about a few minutes ago, that's the love we have to build a shield. The one that says, even in persecution, even in death, even in all the principalities and powers of darkness coming against me, even in my suffering, I stand and I don't bend. You hear what a strong shield that is to have? This kind of love is fearless. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love overcomes every obstacle. It is spiritual. This kind of love, and only this kind of love, can go beyond the mind and heart and transform someone in the spirit realm. It is outrageous. It is powerful. It's beyond reason. It's beyond fairness. It's a clinging and a longing and a hungering love, and it's an exchanging love. It is the love that Jesus exchanged his life for ours. It is joyful, which doesn't always make sense, but in the midst of tribulation, we can be full of joy. It is purposeful. It never gives up. It is persistent. It's extreme giving. It accepts pain and rejection, suffering. It is sacrificial. The love of Christ constrains us. We don't do what we would because we love him, because that love of him is in us. It rejects this world and chooses God's kingdom. It is merciful, eternal. It glories in tribulation. I love that part right there. It glories in tribulation. It realizes that we want the glory of God more than we want to be delivered. We want the glory of God more than we want to be satisfied. The glory of God more than our comfort. The glory of God above those things we need. And we can't do that because, see, this whole love is of God and only God. But if he lives in us, he can live through us with this kind of love. It is fearless, and it sacrifices, lays down its life for others. So this is the kind of love that it's going to take in these end days to stand and have a shield that the devil cannot penetrate. It's going to take agape love. So I'm just going to learn now. You can come up and read those later if you want to, but we're going to look into those things. In Ephesians 6:16, we've been talking about the armor of God. And in 16 it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What is he shooting at you? What kind of poison darts is he shooting at you? Is somebody hurting you, wounding you, lying about you? What do you do with that? Because our love will reject them. Our love will fight back. But if we let the love of God rise up, he will love our enemies. This first shield we built was on the Word. This one is built on, it was the first one built on the Word of God is about what God said. Now this one is built on who God is. That's why this one is so powerful. It's built on who God actually is. The shield of faith. So understanding that this shield is, it's not something you carry around. It is God himself. Every piece of the armor is God in all that he is between you in this world. This is word faith controls most of what I believe and think. Love faith controls what I feel. So when you're under attack, the shield of word faith, it controls what I think, what I believe. The words that I choose to believe, the words of God that I have read, they are my truths. They build a shield based on what God has said. This shield of love is built on what I feel. What I feel toward God, what he feels toward me. See, these are all actions of love in the encouragement and the comfort and the selflessness. Who God is captures my heart and my emotions. It's not enough to have an understanding about God. It's not enough to have all the truths of the word, because in the day that you come under attack, you're more likely going to respond on how you feel. So you have to have a strong enough heart attached to who God is. Your love for God, because of God living in you, can become agape love toward him. He will rise up in you with his own agape love, transform your heart to an agape love toward him that says, I don't care what they do to me. I want my God to get glory because I've experienced who he is. Because he has poured this great love on me. Because he has loved me first, I love him. But how much love experience have you had with him? If you haven't had enough, you're going to run to take care of you when that day comes, rather than caring to let God stand in that love. End times, greater miracles, more power. These are things we have never needed that are coming. Things that are coming intensified beyond anything we've ever seen. And the only power, in the end, big enough, is God himself in his agape love. Because God is pure love. So let's talk about the first, the affection. We've talked about the different kinds of love, but let's take a look at affectionate love in the Old Testament. Jacob loved Rachel. Let's look at Genesis 29:20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Jacob went to work for Rachel's father, and he fell madly in love with Rachel. Now, I don't have a sheep that represents Rachel, but she was the sexy one. She was beautiful. Leah, the sister, was the tender-eyed one. She was kind and good, but not as pretty. And he wanted Rachel. So the father-in-law, the father said, you work for me 7 years, I'll give you my daughter to marry. So he worked for 7 years, went into the tent that night, had a honeymoon, woke up in the morning, and found out he had married Leah. It wasn't Rachel. He got tricked. So he goes back and says, I wanted Rachel. And the dad says, well, you can have her too. Just work for me another 7 years, and I'll also give you Rachel. So he actually worked 14 years to get Rachel. That is a determined love, isn't it? That's a powerful love that controlled his actions every day of his life for 14 years. He had this consuming, obsessive, addicted love that was level 2 to get that woman. That's a lot of love, isn't it? Now I'm going to show you how that parallels our sinful addictions. Because in Genesis 27:4, we're talking about Isaac. He said, and make me savory meat, such as I love. This is the same word. See, the Bible has different words that mean love. In English, we said love for every one of them. But this is the exact same interpretation as the love that Jacob had for Rachel. Isaac had this kind of love for food, for meat. He said, make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat and my soul may bless thee before I die. This man's dying wish was for a steak. I'm about to die. Go get me some food so I can just savor it in my mouth, and then I'll bless you. He even manipulated his son. Now, God doesn't bless that kind of addictive love for food, for drink, for pleasure, for addictive games, for things that just feed our flesh, and to the equal of the love that we have 14 years laboring for that woman. So this kind of love got him in trouble. Addictions always do. This kind of love caused his son to deceive him. Because he wanted to bless Esau, but this old man was nearly blind, and his senses were geared to smelling that meat. So his other son, second son, went out and got the meat, prepared the meat, put a little fake hair on his arm so he'd feel like his brother, and he tricked his dad into giving him the blessing. He deceived him. So he was led into deception because of his craving and his addiction and obsession for food. That was his dying wish. You know, why do you need to eat one more meal before you die? They do that in prison. They give the prisoners their, you're going to be electrocuted tomorrow. What would you like for your last meal? How about if I could get to see my mom and hug her and kiss her and say goodbye rather than eat a steak? So that's not a good kind of way to live in our level two love. In Genesis 29:32, Leah, the tender-eyed one, she wanted love from her husband. She craved for her husband to love her. And she conceived and bare a son. She said, now therefore my husband will love me. She had a craving for her husband to love her. That was a level two love. She was craving. That's the greatest love as a human we could ask someone to give us. She craved that love. The love of God has required from us in the Old Testament, when he said love your neighbor, was only level two love, committed love. God wanted a committed love, a love that would be obedient to God, a love that would serve other people as much as we possibly could, and equal to the love we were receiving from God. So he did not say, I command you to agape love people, because he didn't live inside of us in the Old Testament. So he couldn't command what he wasn't giving us. Song of Solomon. Our affectionate love involves emotions. Go to chapter 8. It involves how we feel. But God's affection, God has level 2 love. He has a committed and he has an affectionate love. But we're looking up words that mean the same thing as this love that Jacob had to work 14 years. Now, how does God love from level 2 love to us? Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6 and 7. God says, set me as a seal upon your heart and as a seal upon your arm, for love, God's love, is as strong as death, and jealousy as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. God says, I want to offer you the affection that you need. See, over here we've got a love that will do what it needs to do, whether it feels like it or not. But over here is God's affection, the kind of affection Leah craved. She says, I have to have love. Jacob said, I have to have this woman. I crave love. God said, set me upon your heart, and I will love you with a love stronger than death. I will love you with a love that nothing can ever put out. Floods of waters can't drown it. It's like a burning fire love. I will love you that way. This is the love as humans we have craved from birth. Something down inside of us says, I need love. And we begin seeking it. If we had a problem in our parental life and we didn't get enough affectionate from our mom or our dad, moms believe in us and cuddle us and kiss us and just believe in all that we can do and who we're going to be. And dads, they protect us and they provide for us and they fight for us. And if we didn't get enough of that to make us ready for marriage, then we start looking and craving those things. We crave them in our romantic relationship and they don't work. Because when you go after a woman, she's not going to be your mommy. And when you choose that man, he is not going to be your dad. It's a different kind of love. But we're craving. Something is missing. And we want someone to come and meet that need. We want them to give to us. We want to be number one in their life. You know, the movies teach us that. Man doesn't even care about his career. He doesn't care about anything once he sees her. All he lives for is to be with her. You know, and we girls grow up on that romantic notion that I just want this guy, that I'm the most important thing in his whole life. He wants to be with me every minute. He thinks I'm absolutely beautiful, and he loves everything about me. My jokes are funny, and everything I do is wonderful. And the man, he wants the girl who just, oh, I believe in you. You're so smart. You can do anything. Just praise you for everything, all your talents and giftings, and thank you, endlessly grateful for the work you do. I asked Harvey this morning, can you give me a paycheck this week so I could tithe? He said, that's funny, because every time I give paychecks, nobody says anything. Every time I fail to, I hear it. And that's really, we take each other for granted. But we want to be appreciated. We want to be thanked for the things we do. You hear where I'm going? This is a love that needs, wants, craves. God's love is a love that always gives, gives, gives. So when we meet him, he gives. He fills. He's the initiator. He says, where do you hurt? Let me heal you. What do you need? Let me give to you. You're not feeling safe and secure. I'll provide. I'll protect. He is the initiator. He's the daddy. He's the husband. He's the mama. He's the wife. He comes and meets all those needs. He is a giving lover. Level two, pouring into our need and craving to be loved. And as we experience that, where is it coming from? It's coming from a level three love that can do all that and get nothing back. Because God can love his enemies. God can love us when we're in a totally selfish, takey phase of life. He can do that from agape. So he meets everything we need here, and then he meets it from here too. And he only requires... In the beginning, he's satisfied with level one from us. And then he requires a little more. Will you commit to me? You say you have affection for me. A lot of us come in, you get prayed for, you get touched, you experience a little bit of God. And you go, wow, I just got loved on by God. He is real. Man, I go outside, you know what happens? It's like an injection of love. And you go out and go, I love trees. I love everything because I just got loved. When you get loved, you can love. It doesn't last a long time if you don't get a, you know, it's addictive. If you don't get some more, it wears off. But when you begin receiving love from God, you feel all that love. And you're going, I need more. I need more. I want more. Love me some more, God. Love me some more. And when we're at that stage, God's just giving, giving, giving. Then after a while, he says, will you move to level two? Will you love me back? Will you commit in obedient love? Will you give me your life? Will you serve me? Will you trust me? Will you obey me? Will you let me love others through you? No matter what, will you begin to trust me? Because you have an option at level one, and you have an option at level two, to do that. You can do that. I'm here this morning because I choose to love God. I didn't wake up just feeling like I love God. I don't wake up feeling like I love God. I wake up feeling like, oh, life is overwhelming, another day to go through, you know. I'm going to have to get up and pray myself into spiritual because right now I'm not feeling it. I'm going to have to go read the word by choice because I don't want to. I'm going to have to go cook his breakfast because I choose to love him. I don't want to cook it. I'm not all naturally full of I just like to love. I'm choosing a committed, I do love him and I do love God. I don't always feel it. When I don't feel it, I'm choosing level two, to commit to the things God wants, to commit to the things my husband needs. It's a committed love. You don't have to feel it. It's a choice. But agape love, you can crave it and want it. God has to do it in you. It's all God. It's not you. It's love beyond anything you can possibly do. And it's the love required for these end days. This outpouring of God that's going to cover the face of the earth, the glory of God covering the face of the earth, cannot be done except through agape love. A love that we can't do. But it's inside of us. It's inside of us. And there's a process of how to get to the releasing point. Human love is always conditional. It's always conditional. Even if it's a committed love, it's conditioned on whether or not we choose to love someone and give it. It's a condition. If my husband makes me really mad, maybe I won't make him breakfast tomorrow. It's still a condition. If he treated me bad enough, I'd probably stop cooking. Back when we were younger and first got married, he didn't like pepper, and whenever I was really mad at him, pepper, extra pepper, that hot sauce, he stirred it. Really, that burnt your tongue? That kind of love in us, even when it's committed, is still conditional. We can be shaken. Psalm 116, 1. David said, now David was a man after God's own heart. So here's a lover of God. And yet listen to why he loves God. In 116, 1, David says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. He had a reason. He had to have a reason to love God. I love God because when I pray, he listens to me. And he answers my prayers. Psalm 119, 119. God, you put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. I love you, God, because you're against my enemies. Psalm 119, 132. Look upon me, God, and be merciful unto me, as you used to do unto those that love your name. God, I love you because you forgive me. I love you because you're merciful to me. Psalm 119, 159. Consider how I love your precepts, your ideas. Quicken me, God. Give me life according to your loving kindness. David loved God because God gave him life. He made David feel alive. David kept saying all the reasons that he loved God. Do you know God loves us without reason? We don't do any of those things for him. He loves us unreasonably. Hezekiah loved God because God healed him. In Isaiah 38, he said, behold, for peace, I had great bitterness, but you, God, having love to my soul, delivered it from the pit of corruption, for you have cast my sins behind your back. Hezekiah was near dead, and God healed him. And he said, I love God because he healed me. These are all things we should love God for and be thankful to God for. But if you notice, the human nature is to love if you give me reason to love you. If you don't give me reason to love you, I probably won't. If somebody treats you bad long enough, you'll stop loving them. Because human love can only go so far. But what kind of God love did God require from us? In Exodus 20, God showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Exodus 20, verse 6, God says, I will show mercy to thousands who love me and obey me. And this word love was only a level one. Only one. Do you have a little affection? Do you like me? God says. Do you just like it when I love you? Do you just appreciate that I love you? Do you have some heart feeling for me? Then I will show you mercy. If you have any feeling, God says, any feeling for me, come and obey my commandments, and I will be so merciful to you. There is a part, too, because if you don't obey his commandments, he may love you, but he also will discipline you. But to get God's love, he said, just have a little bit of affection for me. Just want me. Just want me. Leviticus 19:18 says, love your neighbor. In the Old Testament, level one, it's all I'm asking you for. Can you have a little bit of kindness, a little bit of liking your neighbor so that you can obey my commandment to be nice to them? And therefore, all the Ten Commandments are based on love. God's love for us, agape, caused him to put up a rule book of level one love. Don't kill your neighbor. Can you have that much love for your neighbor that you'll obey me and don't kill them. Don't steal his wife. Don't steal his money. Don't lie to him. Just give me level one love and don't do these things to your neighbor, because I agape your neighbor and you. He didn't ask us for an equal love back. Just a little bit of niceness to each other. But his love is agape. Deuteronomy 7:6. For you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all the people on the face of the earth. And the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all. That's an encouraging verse to me with the size of this church. He said, I didn't choose you because you're a big, mighty nation. It's not why I chose you. But because the Lord loved you. And this is agape love. Because the Lord loved you. And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers. That's why the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. God is a covenant God. Covenant used to mean more in our world than it means today. You know, even over in Africa, when people make that vow, I take you to be my lawful wedded husband or wife, and vowing in sickness and health to be faithful till death do us part. That is a covenant. It's an agreement. It's a vow. It's a promise. And then they go get a divorce. But in Africa, it's different. You have to go and ask the government if you can get a divorce. Prove all the reasons, good reasons you have for it. And then they will probably tell you, you can't do it for at least 2 to 5 years because we want to try to save this marriage. We don't want you to get a divorce. Therefore, we're going to give you a long amount of time to work this out before we will grant you the divorce. Now, in America, it used to be you had to have a good reason. You had to file for divorce, and you had to have a good reason, or the judge might say no. But when God makes a covenant, there is no no, and there is no changing your mind. There is no backing out. And it used to be like signed in blood. People would say, cut your finger and I'll cut mine and we'll mix our blood and we'll dip our pen in blood and we'll sign this agreement. And I mean, it was like, go to the extreme to prove to me that you will never break your word. But we still break our word. But a covenant, an oath, when God swears it, cannot be broken. Right. And he said that if you love him and obey him, keep his commandments, that he signed in the blood of Christ, we are under agreement. You are under the blood of Christ, and that cannot ever be broken. I have signed your mercy in the blood of Christ, and it cannot be broken. God has covenant love. Two loves that were mentioned. One was his set love. He said, I have set my love on you. Agape love is a set love. It is a determined. I mean, he might as well set it down with super glue when he set it in us. Because it is set, it's determined, it's a done deal, it is committed. Two, it is an affectionate love. He used both the agape word and the level two affectionate word. He used both of those words in this passage to say, not only do I have a determined, committed, promised, sacrificial love that will do whatever it takes that is best for you, but I also have affection for you. I wouldn't be very happy if my husband just said, I don't feel any love for you. I don't really have any affection towards you. You're not really very attractive to me or anything. But I've decided to love you. I've decided to pay all the bills, give you a good home, buy you clothes, be very, very kind to you. I'll give you a car. I'll give you children. I have committed to be your husband for the rest of your life. But I don't really like you. I don't feel anything for you. I wouldn't want that marriage. God not only does all the agape, the extreme of the agape, but he has affection. He said, I also have affection. God is a cry baby of affection. I mean, we are created in His image. Who do you love more than your own children? That you created, your little love child that you created. Who do you love in this world more than that baby, that child? But God. I didn't bring this verse. I don't think I brought this verse with me. If I did, we'll run into it later. But there was a verse where God said, my people who have gone away from me, it's like I have them in my hand, like little eggs, like a chicken, a mama chicken looking at these little eggs, but their wings aren't moving, and they don't, their mouths are not moving, and there's no peeping. They're dead. And God weeps and He grieves. And you realize He relates it to a mama chicken. God grieves when one egg doesn't develop. He understands the grief in that mama chicken. When a bird falls to the ground, the Spirit of the Lord is there. He has love for every little bird. When I saw a cow crying, I mean, a cow is just going on and on and on, and God tells me, go over and pray for this cow. And I'm petting this cow and going, what's wrong with the cow, God? She won't be comforted. He said, they took her baby away. And it's still a nursing little calf, and they took it away from her. And she's grieving. And God cared so much for that cow to have me pray for that cow. How much does He love us? How much does He love us? More than a baby dead chick, more than a bird, more than a cow. When we don't pay attention to God, we break His heart. What happens when your children don't care about you and they don't want to talk to you and they want to spend time with you? It breaks your heart. We break His heart when we don't. Just come and let Him love us. He only asks us for a little bit of affection and He will pour massive affection on us. Massive affection. And then we walk away and complain about Him. And He just forgives us. And He just forgives us. God is so amazing. His love is so amazing. If you've ever allowed His agape love to flow through you to someone else, the excitement is you get to feel it as it goes through your heart. His amazing agape love will live through your heart. And while He's doing that, you feel what He feels. When I read that about the little eggs, His agape love was on my heart, and I began to weep. I'm sitting there. You ask my family. I don't cry. I'm not emotional. I'm extremely logical. Some of my kids' friends said, you're like one of the guys. You know, you're just all logical. You don't cry. I'm not emotional. But God's love was on my heart. And I'm sitting there weeping over baby chicken eggs. I couldn't even eat eggs the next day without thinking of those little chickens, because I experienced the love of God pass through my heart. It is unexplainable. Addictive. It is so, man, if you feel that, it's out of this world. Nobody can ever tell you what it is till you experience it. And then you're addicted. And that's the kind of love that will hold you when everybody comes against you, when everything is against you, for the glory of this God of love. I endure persecutions knowing He's reserving glory. I endure suffering because He's receiving glory. Because that kind of love just wins you over. And you know, when we go off and we say, well, I can't take all that stuff, so I'm just going to do what I want. Miserable. But when we're in that kind of love, even when you're being beaten and yelled at, there's some kind of a deep joy when that love rises up. So we see there's degrees of love. And nothing human can compare to this love of God. Isaiah 63:9 says, it says, in all their affliction, He was afflicted. And the angel of His presence saved them in His love. And in His pity, He redeemed them. And He bare them. And He carried them all the days of old. I'm going to share another vision of God's great love in some grief. And a dream that I had that I thought maybe wasn't from God, and then he showed me that it was. But I had a dream where there was a place where child kidnappers, they kidnapped children for evil purposes, and they took them to this place. And in the dream, I was seeing those children and God's compassion and love to rescue them, to save them, just how it tore his heart out. And he didn't look on the evil. In the dream, there was no seeing anything evil that happened. There was only a knowing that it happened. And that's why I know it was God, because he doesn't look on evil. If you've got evil details going on in your dream and you see them, it's probably the devil. Because when it's God, he doesn't look on evil. You're aware of it, you know it, but you're not watching it happen because he doesn't look on evil. But his heart was just torn out for the grieving of these children and wanting to heal them. And God wanted to rescue them and then begin their healing of their heart, begin the healing that would transform their lives. And he can do that. He's done a lot of that in my life, that transforming healing that just takes it all away like it didn't happen. But there was a couple of extreme cases. And the little one moved to heaven. I'm being careful because we have little ones. The little one moved up to heaven to be with God. And God shared with me that it was the most merciful, the kindest thing he could possibly do for that one was to take him to heaven where they could have the fullest healing. So, you know, we don't consider, even sometimes when God takes somebody, it's his mercy because he knows what lies ahead in this world. Some of us are called to these end time things and we'll be prepared to them. When I was first saved, they were talking about end time things all the time, and they were scaring the daylights out of me because I'm a wimp. I mean, I can't take pain at all. And I was a stubborn brat, and Harvey was the opposite. So we did these little brat, you know, control games. I'm brat, he's control. So it's like I would say bratty things to stir him up. And then he would be like, you know, twist your arm or something, you know. Say you're sorry, say I'm right, whatever. And I'm going, you're right. And then I'd just walk like two rooms away and go, you're wrong, you know, get far away from the pain and then stand my ground. But I'm telling you, you bend my little finger, you pull my fingernails out, I'm crying uncle. I am a wimp. I don't take pain well. I don't stand, and I thought, man, they're all talking about torture for your faith, you know. They torture me for my faith, I'm going to deny Christ because I can't take it. I would never be able to take it. But through the years, I have experienced the presence of God in a way that your focus could so turn to his face. Like Stephen, when they stoned him, they're stoning him, and these sharp stones are cutting his flesh, and they're hitting him hard, breaking bones maybe. They're going to kill him. So, I mean, it's not like just a little, you know, little tiny rock. They had boulders. They're going to kill the man. And Stephen says, I see Jesus on the right hand of the Father. His focus, he was in the presence of Jesus. There's a grace. Grace is the desire and the ability. It's the divine influence of God and the power to do what he's asking of you. You can't imagine grace. It's there when you need it, when you're being obedient. You can't imagine it. You can do what you know you couldn't do. Endure what you know you can't endure. Because he's right there. And you're able by his power inside of you. And that's what it's going to take. Our faith has to trust that to be our truth. I can still tell you, I could not take it. I could not endure. I could not do this. But what I have learned is, if that's what he chooses for me, he will rise up in me. And his love, his presence, his power will be there. And the ability will be there too. Because of him. I've learned to trust him. In all things, he will be there. He will do it. And it's going to take this kind of committed love to move into that kind of love. He is the faithful God. His love is eternal. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you. And again, I will build you, and you shall be built. That is such an awesome verse. God says, I'm taking the first step because I love you so much. And it's an everlasting, cannot die, undying love. Therefore, like a magnet, I'm going to draw you to myself. And then I'm going to build you. And when I build you, you will be built. It's His job. Some people say, I can't give God my life because I don't know. I couldn't do it. I can't change. No, you can't. You just have to want to. You just have to make a decision. I want God to be my God, and I want to live. I want to give Him my life. People mess up that word repentance to mean, I will stop all sin. No more drinking, no more smoking, no more partying, no more, I won't do anything anymore. I'll just go over here and be a religious robot, you know. They think repentance means I won't do anything else but read my Bible and pray. I won't think bad thoughts anymore. I won't ever swear again. You can't do those things. All you have to do is make a decision. A repentance means repentance toward God. I am giving God my life. I don't want this life. I don't want it anymore. I'm inviting you, God, to deliver me and take me out of that mess. Amen. You forgive me, clean me up, you build me. Amen. You get me out of that mess. Amen. I don't want that life. I want you to be my life.
Right.
And then the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood paid for all of our sin, so that we could have relationship with a sinless God. Accepting God, wanting God to become our life. God invites us to this greater love. Because He lives in us, His love can live in us. We move into the New Testament in John 15:9. We're still talking about a level two love. Deeper than just being a friend, but a committed love. John 15:9 said, As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus is talking. As Father God, you got to hear the definitions of the word. Jesus said, As Father God has loved me with an affectionate level to love, so have I loved you with an affectionate level to love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in this love as I have kept my Father's and I abide in His love. These things have I spoken. I got lost in my place. That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. When you're abiding in the love of God, you are happy, even if you have nothing. Greater love. This is my commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. I'm asking you to commit to love one another the same way I have loved you. He doesn't ask you what He doesn't give you. I'm giving you a level 2 committed love, and I'm asking you to give me a level 2 committed love to love other people through you. That's what I'm asking you here in this verse. And greater love has no man that he lays down his life for his friends. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you. I have positioned you. I have purposed you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another with a committed level 2 love. That is what He required at that point when He was still in His flesh and the Holy Spirit was not yet living in us. That's what He required at that point. In time, I want you to be friendly, socially kind, everything human possibly, to do good deeds to your neighbors. And then He said in Matthew 5:44, I say unto you, love your enemies. Committed love. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. We are still talking a level 2 committed love. Will you commit to God not to do revenge and hate, but to love your enemies, bless your enemies. All of this was level two love, because the Holy Spirit wasn't living in his followers yet. So level two is all he could ask anybody to do, because he could give them that, therefore they could give that. That was the level of love at that point. So how do we do that in action? How do we do that? Romans 5:2-5. Talking about Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Why would we do this? Because we have a hope that Christ, the Holy Spirit, will come on us. Now, this is the love we live in, and this is really important. This is still the level two love we live in as a dedicated, committed, sold-out Christian. This is the committed love. That whenever we agree, the Holy Spirit will rise up. He will come on us. And we know he's in us today, but he wasn't on them yet. So he said, I want a love that will allow the Holy Spirit to come on you from time to time and love people. Will you commit to let me do that? And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing tribulation works patience. So when tribulation comes, because we have a committed love to God, we accept the tribulation, knowing he's working patience in us. And patience works experience. And experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. And that's the first time in that passage he uses agape. There is a process. If you will commit your life to God, I'm going to commit to God. I still need your Holy Spirit to do this in me, but I'm going to commit to let you love other people through me. And I'm going to accept tribulation. I'm going to accept suffering. I'm going to accept persecution. And I'm not going to retaliate. That's my decision and that's my choice. Because I know, God, that that's what you want, and I'm going to obey you and make that my choice. He said, and then, if you will do that, if you will do that, the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. The agape love will get shed abroad in your heart. See, there's a process. If you've been knowing God at level one, I love it when God touches me. I love feeling. I love God. He is good. He's a good guy. He's so awesome. I really like him. I love him. It's exciting. I want his love. If you'll move from that to a committed love, I am going to obey God. I'm going to accept tribulation. I'm going to accept rejection. I'm going to let him love my enemies. I am going to let God do anything he wants to, because I am going to commit my love to God and my obedience to God. And if you will do that, he will shed abroad in your heart the agape love beyond your understanding and your wildest dreams. But if you're going to live at this level, well, I do love God, but why doesn't he do this for me? I do love God, but I just can't. I can't be faithful. I do love God, but I mean, if we're not even being faithful to church and reading the Bible, we're nowhere near a committed love. This is kindergarten Christianity. I love God. Beginning decisions. I'm going to read the Word every day. I'm going to go to church. Because God loves me and he saved me. He died for me. But now I'm going to commit. More than that, I'm going to become totally his. I'm going to let God have my life. Maybe that's a change of career. Maybe I have to live in a different house. Maybe I'll surrender to be a preacher or a missionary to another country. Whatever you want, God, I am yours. I'm going to obey you from this day forward. I am committed to you. If my whole family and all my friends hate me, I am committing my love to you, God. Whatever you want. Then you can move on to where the agape love can begin to live through you. We have to get to the point where agape love can live through us in these end days. Things are coming. We need to be ready. But even if they weren't, I mean, this is just where to live. If you've had a touch of that place, you don't want to live anywhere else. That's just what it's all about. And that's eternity. That's growing love, growing into agape. That's where you don't resist evil. That's where they smite you on the right cheek and you turn to the left. That's the kind of love that endures everything. That's 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love, the agape love of Christ constrains us. Because we judge, if one died for all, then we are all dead. That's where we die with Christ, to the things of this world. 1 John 2:15. Love, level 2. Not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this world passes away, and all the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God will live forever, abides forever. Heaven isn't just, okay, I've sinned and I don't want to pay for my sin. Jesus, come in my heart. Now I'm saved. Heaven is a prepared place for people that want God's kingdom. And if you're in love with the world and the things of this world, you don't want God's kingdom. We have to circumcise our heart. Old Testament talks about cutting off the foreskin of your heart. What's on the front of our heart is love of this world. That's got to be cut off before we can even see reality of eternity and what life's really about. This is the testing of our love, and we'll be done. I'm going to give you this quick little test of your love. Peter was tested. We all know Peter. He was a preacher, New Testament, after Jesus died and was resurrected. Peter was an on-fire minister, powerhouse for God, totally sold out. I believe Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't think he was worthy to be crucified the same way as Christ. Peter, this powerhouse for God. Let's take a look back at Peter. When Peter was walking with Jesus, he was like, Mr., I'll do anything. I love God so much, I would do anything for him. He's the one in the garden when Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. He said, I would never deny you, Christ. I would never, even if I have to die for you, I would never deny you. Then when the guards came, Peter took out his sword and he stood up to fight for Jesus, cut the ear off the guard. But when Jesus said, put your sword away, and Jesus healed the ear, and then Jesus allowed them to arrest him and take him away, Peter failed. His shield of love was only level 1. And that's amazing, isn't it? Peter only had a level 1 love for Jesus. He was very affectionate about Jesus. He had a warm heart toward him, but he wasn't committed. He wasn't committed to what God was about. He was committed to what he wanted God to be about. Fighting and winning. Fighting and winning. Violence. Peter wanted to be a winner. And he saw Jesus being taken, drug away in shame, and later crucified. And Peter denied Christ. 3 times he denied Christ. I don't know that man. Because he was afraid. See, perfect love cast out fear. And he had fear. But I'm going to prove it was only a level 1 love out of Peter's own mouth. By the words that define love in the New Testament, we have 3. We have This is 25, but agape is 26. So we have 3 different words that define love. Now Jesus was crucified, died, and Peter quit altogether after denied Christ. He said, I'm going fishing. I'm done with this. I'm just going back to my career, what I love to do. I'm going back fishing. And he went fishing. Then Jesus showed up on the shore after he rose from the grave. And they all came to land, and Jesus is talking with Peter. Now he's in the presence of God, and he's ashamed of himself. And Jesus says, John 21:15, they had eaten, and Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Fish. Peter loved to fish. Jesus said, do you love me more than these fish? And he used, Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he's saying, Peter, do you love me at a level 2 committed love? And Peter said,
Yes, Lord.
You know that I love you. And Peter used the number one word. Lord, you know I have affection for you, but I'm not committed. I couldn't be committed. I denied you and I went and I quit. And Jesus asked him, and Jesus said, feed my lambs. And Jesus asked him a second time, Simon, Jonas, do you love me? Do you have a committed, obedient love? And Simon said, you know that I have affection for you. I have feelings for you, but I'm not committed. He said, feed my sheep. Jesus asked him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you have some affection for me? And Peter says, you know all things, God. You know that what I have for you is level one affection. You know that. And Jesus said, Peter, feed my sheep from this level. Give me what you have.
Right.
Just give me what you have. He didn't even demand, but he brought Peter to realize. He brought him to realize the love I have for you isn't even committed, God. It's not even, I just like you. I mean, I love you. I have emotions for you. But I'm not committed. I denied you. I'm not committed. I denied you again. I'm not committed. Three times. And three times Jesus asked him. I went fishing. I quit. I gave up again. A lot of us are living repeatedly from level one love for Christ, saying, but I love you, God. But I don't have time for you today. But I love you, God. But I really want to go do that. But I love you, God, but I don't really like to go to church. It's not always fun. But I do love you, God. We keep saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And Jesus says, do you have a committed love? Do you have a committed love? If you can move from this, if this is what you have, then share that with people. Feed sheep with it. But if you can move to a committed love, if you can begin to give me a committed love, then I will begin to give you agape. Because I'm looking for a people that will stand. I'm looking for a people that will let me love ridiculously, crazy love, outrageous love, powerful love that goes beyond a heart and transforms a life. Will you let me put that kind of love in you? If you want it, at least step up to committed love and give him that. Step up from where you're at into the next level. Hunger for it, so that you can say, for your sake, God, I can be killed all day long. Let all my enemies speak against me and lie about me. I'm just like a sheep for the slaughter. That's what they see. But I'm a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror through agape love that God has for me. That's my inspiration. That's my power. For I'm persuaded, you kill me, I go to heaven. No matter what happens in my life, no matter what I lose, have you even thought about that? What if he takes away everything? What if it's all gone, you lose your job, you have nothing, you're the guy in the corner with the tin can? Are you going to curse God? No, God, I don't care what happens in my life. You're still my choice. Doesn't matter if I die or live. It doesn't matter if demons attack me. It doesn't matter if principalities, powers. This world is coming against God rapidly. Took prayer out of school. It's illegal to put a manger scene on a public place. They took the Ten Commandments down out of courthouses. The devil rules this world and they're out to remove God. Taking it off our money. Doesn't matter what we see, and it doesn't matter those things that are coming. No matter how high, how deep, how wide, no matter what kind of creatures come against us, nothing is going to separate us from this agape love in God. That's the love we have to have for the days that are coming. Wherever your love level is, God's never even mad. If you've got an affection for him, he's excited about that. You got affection for me. Yay, I'm glad you like me. I'm glad you love me at all. But come further. I want to give you more than that.
Right.
You have a committed love. You've been serving God for years. Not enough. Start begging Him for that agape kind of love. God, if You will give me agape love, I will release You. When You tell me to do the ridiculous love, I'll obey You. Because see, if You're not going to let that love flow, He has no reason to run it through your heart.
Amen.
You have to be willing. That's the committed part. If You want me to do anything, God, to forgive one who doesn't deserve it, I will. I'll choose to. I'm inviting you. Make it a personal thing. If you have never even met Him, you don't even know level one of real love. Meet Him today by choosing Him today. Bring in all your sin to Jesus. Commit your life. Seek to give God everything. I'm inviting you today to come for a greater commitment of love with God.